to the, y'all, you all may be seated, it's all right. If y'all have been listening to the testimonies, especially when it started with Sheila, all I had to do is tell y'all what's, y'all have a song to sing for closing. God is good. But I can understand why it took me so long to get this particular message. I had thought I had my message. I spent several hours the first time. The Lord says, this is not it. I started reading and got another message. I got 3/4 of the way. It takes me a long time. Got 3/4 of the way. God says, no need to finish this. This is not it. But I have one that he has given me today. Because he has promised us so much. And we didn't, I mean, the last, since the pandemic, we have suffered a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And God says, let them know that we are on the right track. And there's no accident that the new year started on the very first day of the year. God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. And before I get into it, I have a lot of scriptures, a lot. But I'm going to hit and miss parts of them. So just make a, when I says make a note, just make a note. My reference scripture I'm not going to use but one is John 5:5-1. But I'm not going to use but one scripture. So I'm going to give you a title. When you look at Jesus, who do you see? John is writing to the 7 churches of Asia Minor. And as you will see in a moment, 7 is the number for completion. So this is a message to all churches for all times. He is talking to the whole congregation. He says, I want you to tell this, 1 John 5:4, the verse I'm going to use. He said, he who overcomes, meaning it's possible to be in church and in the congregation and not be an overcomer. And not overcome because he says, he who. So he talks to the everybody. And then he comes down to the individual and says, let me talk to you, he who. So forget about those folks sitting around you as you walk through this, because it's whether you decide. It's a personal thing. It's whether you decide to overcome, because your neighbor can't help you overcome. But he tells the whole church, everybody who has come to Jesus Christ has overcome. The Greek word for overcome is nikao. And that is, nikao is a word that means to prevail. It's one who wins. One who wins his cause. Be victorious in different and difficult circumstances so that he has to do with being victorious in the midst of whatever you're going through, whatever your circumstances may be. So right now, if you have something that you should not be holding you hostage, but that is holding you hostage, then you need to be an overcomer. Because that's what the word means, to overcome. But why are you telling me this, John? That I have overcome, then you come back in Revelation and tell me you need to overcome. What's up with that? When John says you have overcome, he is dealing with your legal status. Christ has made every believer an overcomer legally. But what we have legally, that's what he legally does. It's personal. We need God to move on us on a personal level, that he has already said that we have overcome us. But how come we don't reach that part? If you are unhappy, you have an unhappy marriage, that doesn't mean that you are unmarried. It makes you a miserable marriage.
Jesus.
It makes you... You dropped it, didn't you? So I got to add a little comedy in here somewhere, because this is going to be a hard message for you to swallow.
Jesus,
don't answer me that. Wait till later. If you are defeated, a defeated and a Christian, that doesn't make you unchristian.
True that,
just makes you a defeated Christian.
Amen.
So what he is trying to tell you and tell us and tell me, that the goal to make our legal status our experiential reality, so that while the word is you have overcome spiritually, legally you have overcome, but because you have come to Christ, but you may not have overcome in terms of it working out in your life, in terms of you experiencing it. In fact, the only reason you need to overcome is there's something to overcome. To overcome means to overrule a sin or a set of circumstances that's illegitimate. It shouldn't be there. It is to overrule them. So I want you to say, I want to say to you, as we move forward in this message, whatever is legitimate, illegitimate in your life, whether it's sin or circumstances, God wants you to overrule and not have it overruling you.
Amen.
Particularly on an ongoing basis. And therefore, God wants you to experience overcoming.
Amen.
In fact, I'm going just a little bit deeper in that. One of the reasons why God allows things that he does not approve is to give you an experience of being an overcomer. That might throw you off a little bit. God does not sin.
Amen.
He may throw you a little bit. This may throw you, but God does not endorse sin.
Amen.
But God also allows things throughout Scripture that he does approve of in order to demonstrate his greater glory.
Hallelujah.
Now, if we intentionally do things, there will be consequences. And those consequences can be daunting. They can be hard, bad. The Bible makes it clear. If you're going to be an overcomer, a prevailer, that the link has to be made between your state and your standing, between your position and your practice, between what's legal and what you're experiencing literally. To understand, stay with me but just for a little while, to understand the key of being an overcomer is whatever needs to be overcome in our lives, you have to, now watch this, begin to look at God differently. I'm going to get you back to my title a little bit later. Let me say that again. If you really, really, for sure, really want to be an overcomer, prevail, you must begin to look at Jesus differently. Ms. Lottie has some answers, questions about that. I'm getting to it, Ms. Lottie. I'm looking at you. before he ever gets to talking about being overcome in chapter 2 of Revelations and chapter 3 of Revelations, he gives us something in chapter 1. He begins in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation saying that revelation of God, of Jesus Christ, he says, I'm disclosing Jesus to you. He says in Revelation in verse 4, I'm writing to the churches. He takes this book at Jesus in verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it shall be, amen. Now watch this. Jesus is talking in verse 8. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He tells John in verse 11, he says, write a book. John then says in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. Jesus is speaking to him. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Verse 13, in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe, reaching to his feet, girded across his chest with a golden sash. Verse 14, he reed his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. He cries. His cries were like a flame of fire. Verse 15. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. Verse 16. In his right hand, he held seven stars. Verse 17. When I saw him, I fell to his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. If you are going to be an overcomer in practice, not in principle, you're going to have to see Jesus as John saw Jesus.
Hallelujah.
This is not Jesus meek and mild. This is not Jesus in a manger.
Hallelujah.
Oh, no, it's not. This is Jesus on fire.
Hallelujah.
He says, like a burning of a furnace. He says, when he spoke, it was like a rushing of many waters. Like the oceans and the seas, how they thunder when they come together. He says, when I saw Jesus, it knocked a brother off his feet. I fell down like a dead man walking. See, when we got this, we think sometimes we have this sweet, I know, this mammy-pammy Jesus. And that is not the overcoming Jesus that we should be looking at.
Hallelujah.
But because we really do not understand who Jesus is since the resurrection and his ascension. See, when Jesus is writing, Jesus says, had already died when John was writing this, already arose, already gone back to heaven. And when he sees this Jesus who's now up in heaven, this Jesus is in charge.
Hallelujah.
This Jesus is controlling the agenda. Colossians 2:15 says, I disarmed them. I disarmed them.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the reason why the devil can defeat us is because he can deceive us into thinking that there's still bullets in the gun. But what Jesus did on the cross, the scripture says he disarmed them. He took away the authority. So now you are beaten by deception that feels like reality. It looks like reality. It seems like reality. That's why the scripture says in Romans 8:37, you're more than a conqueror in him who loved us and gave his life for us. That's why John 16:33 says, in me, you're going to have peace because I have already overcome the world. He speaks in Jesus in these superlatives because it is your connection with the risen Christ. The risen Christ. Not this mammy-pammy Jesus that we look at sometimes. He speaks in these superlatives because it is your connecting with this risen Christ. Romans 5:10, after he says, God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But in verse 8. Verse 10, he comes to verse 10 and says, we shall be saved or delivered by his life. Hallelujah. So the overcoming comes with this life. If you have the wrong kind of Jesus, if you're looking at Jesus the wrong way, you're looking at Jesus at one big enough to dispense what is needed to move you out of your stall situation. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have AAA. I'm talking about AAA. You have these automobiles, you have AAA, and you break down, they come with gas, oil, to give you a jump or whatever, just to get you out of the way to keep you moving. You don't have AAA. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we don't have AAA. We have GGG. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We got GGG. And what he wants you to know is when you begin to look at him differently and relate to him as the risen Christ who has ascended, who is now functioning with fire in his eyes, not soft skin, but hair like wool and voice like thunder.
Hallelujah.
That's who you're dealing with, and that's who you must relate to. You say, but my problem, you don't know, my problem is so big. I've been in this fix for so long. My problem is just big. It's humongous. You don't know how long I've been dealing with this thing. You don't know how long I've been dealing with this circumstance. You don't know how long and how big my problem is. In answer to that, let me explain something. On the cross, Jesus Christ lifted the sins of the whole world for all men, for all times on Calvary. So, what did you tell me the size of your problem was? You are dealing with somebody who handled the world and its sin, and its accompanying circumstances. So your problem may be bad, but it ain't that bad. But if your connection is to the wrong Jesus, that is a misconception of the biblical Jesus. The biblical Jesus is the risen Christ. You are applying it to somebody too weak to handle it. And so your view, my view on Jesus, has got to be adjusted.
Amen.
If we are going to experience the victory of this exalted Jesus,
Amen.
that John is talking about. Before you ever get there, he wants you to know that Jesus has veto power over that which has been overcome by us illegitimately. Okay, so that raises a question. Where can I find this power? Because if it was all that, and like this Sheila said, a bag of chips with a slush Pepsi-Cola on a hot, thirsty day, all we can say, I want some of that. I don't want to be an overcomer anymore. So let's go to Revelations 12 and 11. And they overcame. That's important. And they overcame him. There's our word there. Because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, because of the words of their testimony, because of the words of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. That one verse will shift how you should relate to Jesus. When you shift how you relate to Jesus, he shifts how he relates to you. Because now you're relating to him as he is, not as what you want him to be. Because a lot of people come to church worshiping a Jesus as they want him to be, not as he declares himself to be.
Amen.
There's a big difference. So Jesus says, let me explain something to you. It says, they overcame him, referring to Satan. They overcame him in that context, talking about Satan. They overruled him. They prevailed against him. And three things were in place. These three things can be summed up in one word: their identification with Christ. Now listen to me kind of close. When they properly identified with Christ, they prevailed. Everything that somebody's testimony that they gave, everything was going wrong at first. But the minute they identified with the risen Christ, they became an overcomer.
Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord.
Let me say this before I get into this a little further. God places victory in your reach.
Amen.
Not in your hand. Big difference. Overcoming is in your reach. Overcoming, God has done everything in your life before you got there that you're going to need in the future is in your reach. You can get it.
Yeah.
It's available, but it's not in your hand. See, a lot of folk come to church and they want God to drop victory in their hand. That's not the way it works. He puts it within your reach because he needs to see you exercise your faith to get it in your hand. So you can talk about it all day. You can pray all day about it. You can come to church and stay all day. But if you do not grab what has been provided, you don't get what you could have. He says, they prevailed. In other words, they overcame because of their identification with the cross, with the confession, and with the commitment. What now, what does all that mean? It means that they began by the blood, he says, to understand that the cross, over 2,000 years ago, was relevant right now. You see, so many people that think the cross is a historical event. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross, and you believe that. He died for your sins. I believe that he died for our sins. I accept him as my Savior. Sure, that's great. And because of that, I'm saved. That sounds good, doesn't it? It's so good to be saved. Yes, it does. I'm going to heaven. That's good. And all that's good. But these folks are overcoming him by the blood in the present. In the presence of this text.
Hallelujah.
They are not just overcoming him because of the blood work 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
That's why when Paul describes his identity in Galatians 2 and 20, he says, I am right now crucified with Christ.
That's right.
Nevertheless, I live, yet I, it's Christ who lives in me.
Come on.
And life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God,
hallelujah,
who loved me and gave his life for me. He says, if you want to look at my life now, I am controlled by the cross. That is, I am controlled by the work of Jesus, what Jesus Christ did over 2,000 years ago that affects my decision making in this present day. It is my current joint of reference. If what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, which is why he left us with communion. And we know what that says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. You don't make it relevant today, it becomes a 2,000-year-old event, and you'll never benefit from it in eternity. And it'll be useless in time. The word, the reality of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, which was why he said when he got up from the dead, Matthew 28 and 19, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Translation, I'm in charge now.
That's right.
I haven't come to take sides. I've come to take over. Jesus is calling the shots. And if he is calling the shots, you don't get to overcome. He says, secondly, they overcame him by the word of their testimony. Stay with me a little while longer. You will not overcome whatever you're needing to overcome if you are a secret agent Christian. If you are a spiritual CIA representative, forget overcoming. Because Jesus Christ, with fire in his eyes, is not trying to help folk overcome who is embarrassed to be associated with him. That's why I thank God for your testimonies this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
So you see why the God wouldn't let me preach nothing else. Those other two messages, I don't know when they're going to come up. That's why when I got on this one and I says, when you see Jesus, do you know who you're looking at when you're watching, when you're looking at him? Because this is important. This has to be with your overcoming. He said, if you don't be associated with me in public, you just want to this private meeting with me, or you just want to meet me in church with the other saints on Sundays, don't be calling on me for overcoming in your life when you don't want to be associated with me. It was a preacher, deacon, I think. It was a pastor years ago. It's tight, but it's right.
Amen. Amen.
The word of their testimony.
Yes.
Let me say it another way. Trying to camouflage it, be talking about it, I believe in God, won't cut it.
Right.
Using God's name won't cut it.
Come on, Pastor.
God has placed everything in his son.
That's right.
At the cross. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God.
That's right.
So the Father is glorified when Jesus is the superstar.
Yes.
Oh, and what about number three? It's going to sound impossible for us, but I can prove that it's not. Number three was, because he says, they did not love their life even when faced with death. They overcame him because of a love relationship that they possessed with him. That transcended dying. Now, that is some serious love I'm talking about. When it transcends dying, but it's not unusual today. No, it's not. Most parents, if they had to, would die for their children, would give their life for their children. Most parents will. But if you're a husband, more than likely, for your spouse, anything, if it came between the two of you, most husbands will give their life to spare their spouse. So you have men who would give their lives for their mates because of the death of their love. It is what was a choice between the two, if it was a choice between the two. So in the human level, we know that it is a sacrifice, the life for love. That's right. We love God so much. He loved us so much that he gave his life when we didn't deserve it. And that's my thing about children, when their mother sacrificed her life to bring them life, so many mothers didn't live through the procedure. But they live, these children don't, if I have a pet peeve, I can't stand children. I don't care how you grew up. I don't care what your parents did that disrespect the parents. It's just something I can't stand. He says to be an overcomer because he's got fire in his eyes. To see an overcomer. That's why Paul says in Luke 9, he says, I die daily.
Yeah.
Every day, when I get up in the morning, I say, I'm dead to me, and I'm alive to you, to Christ. You are my life. He says, you are not just a place I go on Sundays. You are my defining definition. You are my life. If any man will be my disciples, the Lord says, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow him. There is this misunderstanding that I am pursuing a relationship with somebody that I want to fall in love with more than life itself. In other words, this is a serious commitment. We have to love Jesus so much that regardless of what circumstances we are going through, if it comes to life or death, if it comes from me not preaching or not carrying my Bible and preaching to him anymore or preaching his word anymore, what will I choose? I will have to choose death. Amen. Because you said it, to live in Christ, to love Christ, to give my life, I won't die. This physical death, we put too much emphasis on it, it doesn't mean a thing. If we are in love and if we relate to Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus Christ. But he says, for me, to live in Christ and to die is gain. Paul says, I don't know whether to stay here or to go home to be with Christ. He says, I'm caught between the two. If I stay here, it's to serve Christ. If I die, it's to go be with Christ. And if I suffer, he says, I reckon that my suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed unto me. So he says, basically, I'm in a no-lose situation. I'm in a no-lose deal. Living, dying, it's all Christ. So if you got to be rejected because of Christ, if I got to be misunderstood because of Christ, if I got to be not liked because of Christ, not because of my foolishness, but because of Christ, then that's the way it's going to be. See, when it comes, when you come to Jesus, you have to have a made-up mind. See, we've been walking lightly over this stuff. But see, we keep saying he is soon to return. He is right now setting us up for victory in him. We have so many people we have to save. We have so, but that's why he's talking to the seven churches. This is the last church, you know, he got to be straight. He had to say, I'm talking to the church as a whole. Now I'm talking to you individually. So, if I've got to be rejected because of Christ, misunderstood because of Christ, I've got to not be liked because of Christ. Because Christ, not because of my foolishness, because of Christ, then that's just the way it's got to be. See, saints, let me tell you something. Once you now have identified with Christ, you have positioned yourself to be an overcomer. You have positioned yourself to see the move of God overrule in your circumstances of life. There must now be a shift in your perspective. You must change how you look. Getting back to my topic. You must change how you look. You must look at Jesus now differently as the sovereign, on fire Lord who now rules. If you really want to overcome bad enough, then Jesus says, you got to do this. But the way you do this is by focusing on that. And if you understand that I have already overcome, and you're walking through this thing, you need to overcome, because I have already overcome for you. It's sin or circumstance, but you're looking at me and you say, okay, Jesus, I thank you. I missed it for a little bit, but I got my eyes back on you. And I thank you for whatever circumstance I'm caught in, whatever thing I need to be overcome in. I know you have overcame. All I have to do is reach up. You're not going to put it in my hand. All I got to do is reach out by faith, even though I don't see it yet. I have to believe that it's there. I have never done anything and received anything, even though I haven't seen it, that I haven't gotten it from Christ. That's why faith is not seeing it. But faith is an inner belief that you're going to receive it, whatever that is, by faith. And I said, he is so good. And if I get a little teary-eyed in this, because he's done so much. He's been so real. I can't deny him things. All I can do, I just want to give him glory. Because I'm focused on the news of heaven during my struggle on earth. I know the devil's been slamming you. I know circumstances have been beating you. I know sin has been moving and trying to own you. I know it looks like the evil one is controlling you. But Jesus Christ on the cross has already prescripted that you are a winner. He says he has already prescripted that by relationship to him, you are an overcomer. That goes for everyone here. No exceptions. If you claim to be saved and a child of God, he has already prescripted that Satan has no longer any control over you. He has already prescripted the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He has already prescripted that those folk don't control you anymore. He has already prescripted that circumstance doesn't control you anymore. I know you're being thrown down. I know you're being beaten up. But you can now look out and declare, I am an overcomer and I'm coming back at you. I don't care. I'm coming back at you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Give him glory. Give him praise. We are victorious, saints. He is good. That's why I didn't want to pray for you, because I know God is going to give you the answer. You have to know for yourself. This is a personal thing. This letter, I know those who have pacemakers. But you know, I prayed when I finished this, I prayed for those who have pacemakers. But you know, I prayed that your heart be so much in time and in perfect beat, your heart is keeping the pacemaker working. So when that comes about, ain't nothing left to do. Take it out. See, y'all don't know like I know what he's doing in this place. Y'all don't know like I know that he has your healing. He has your pain. He has everything right at your reach. But we have to use faith to get it in our hands. Church is real. He's real.
Hallelujah.
Who wouldn't want to be an overcomer with a God like this? You keep forgetting. We have triple G. It's a personal thing.
It is that.
Glory. Yes. Jesus.
Glory.
Come on, Pastor.
Woo. Hallelujah.
Come on, Pastor. Woo. Come on.
Everyone here who is truly going through something. Truly going through something. And you may be having a little problem saying that it's right there. You're having a problem knowing that. I don't care what it is. Sometimes life can be so difficult and it's going on. It's right there. Oh, you know. Somebody says something about inheritance. Your family left you an inheritance. It's like having an inheritance and you can't receive it because you know they left something, but you don't believe it's there. You won't reach out and get it. If you're going to something, this is the most different thing that I have ever done. If you're going through something and you want to be an overcomer, I don't care what it is. I just want you to stand. Just stand where you are. Just stand. Then you stand for both of us. Okay, I'm standing already. Pastor Tony, I want you to stand. Pastor Mumford, what I want you to do, don't say one word. Everyone that's standing, we want to go home. All we can do is touch their forehead. That's all we're going to do. Just go through and touch their forehead.